Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is a regular business meeting for July 19th, 2016. The time right now is 7:02 p.m. Ms. Smith, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cuddeback, Davis, Camp, and Gamble.
Thank you. And last week, we knew that Councilmember Hanford would not be here, that Councilmember Rasmussen would not be here. Without objection, we'll go ahead and consider the two of them as excused. Any concerns? Okay, seeing none, Councilmember Scarborough, will you please lead us in the pledge? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for the members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and we do have a sign-up sheet. The first person who signed up is Mr. Steve Jensen. Mr. Jensen, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
What happened to 5 minutes?
My name is Steve Jensen. I live at 17041 155th Street Southeast here in Monroe. For disclosure, I am a member of the Planning Commission, but I'm here not representing them, but just of myself. I read a news article during the week that last week you guys made a proposal to actually make some changes, not just proposals, but commit to some changes at the intersection of Blueberry and Kelsey. As a member of the Planning Commission, I'm not saying that everything would come our way, but it feels like there wasn't much planning with that. It certainly maybe should have been something run by the Planning Commission, because I think it needs a lot of planning. You're saying deny all left turns from Blueberry to northbound Kelsey, or from northbound Kelsey to Blueberry, with islands being built in to prevent such left turns. All the traffic that's making the right turns should come in south across the railroad tracks, and you turn right on Blueberry. At some point, that traffic's going to want to return from whence they came, which would require a left, or going through some neighborhood. Likewise, the traffic going east on Blueberry turns right on the southbound Kelsey. At some point, they're done with what they were going to go to, school, post office, whatever. They want to come back and make a left turn back onto Blueberry, or go through some other neighborhood. There's a lot of traffic. So I now need you to pause the clock because I have a handout.
Please hand it to our clerk.
I need it to go around.
I'll pass it around.
Okay.
Thank you.
More than enough for everybody. This solution is not a mythical solution. This is a solution WashDOT approved. It's not 5 miles from here. It won't cost tens of thousands of dollars. It won't cost thousands of dollars. I suspect it'll cost about $200 or $300. And it's three signs you have to add and a post. Not that much money. Basically, that you would add on the existing stop sign from Blueberry. At that stop sign, you simply add a notation that traffic from the left does not stop. That is traffic coming across the railroad tracks. Does not stop. Traffic going north on Kelsey, you add a stop sign. There is none now. You add a stop sign with a notation that oncoming traffic does not stop. And in my opinion, this will solve the problem. People will try to skirt around like they do now when the train's there because they think they can skirt around quickly and go. But now there's a stop sign. So if they think they're going to skirt around, they got to skirt around and stop. So I think they're not going to try to skirt around anymore. And if that's still a problem, put a cop out there, give a few tickets, and it'll stop. Word will get out, it'll stop. If that's the only safety-ish thing. But otherwise, it will clear up the traffic because the Blueberry traffic gets its fair share to go as the Kelsey traffic. When the light changes green, it's only green long enough for traffic about to that intersection to clear anyway, so it isn't going to permit further traffic from getting through on US 2 because the light isn't green long enough.
Mr. Jensen, I need to ask you to wrap up.
So basically, that's my ask of the City Council, is to readdress this issue, give it another thought. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anybody else who would like to come forward to council to speak to us about anything? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Cutterback.
First, I just wanted to thank Mr. Jensen for coming down here and voicing his opinion. I really appreciate it because it's very helpful when members of the community look at what we actually decided and have comments and then come down and follow up. So I appreciate that. So I wanted to just say that. So,
thank
but
you.
I will make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Cutterback and a second from Councilmember Scarborough to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Ms. Smoot, do you need to read in the ordinance?
I do. Thank you. Approved through the consent agenda this evening is ordinance number 001-2016, implementing the requirements of engrossed Senate Bill ESB 5923 by amending sections 20.07.150, 20.10.100, and 20.12.110 of the Monroe Municipal Code relating to an impact fee deferral program for single family detached and single family attached dwelling units, providing for severability and establishing an effective date. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move on to council member reports. There was no P4 committee this evening, so we do not have a report from that committee. We'll go ahead and go down the line. Councilmember Gamble.
I'm good.
Okay, Councilmember Camp.
Briefly, I attended the I cannot pronounce the name, but the Muslim barbecue. Community barbecue was a good organization. The chief and mayor made a good example with the words they provided, and it was very informative, and it was a great opportunity to meet people. I would like to have a brief discussion about this tonight. I don't know when the appropriate time would be. Is it now or...
So a couple things. One, we don't have. We can do that now.
Okay.
We also to point out we don't have Brad here this evening. So
right.
If you'd like, what I could do is we will share that with Brad.
Right.
And it may be that we can have some discussion on that next week, or certainly can have the conversation this evening as well.
Well, if possible, and also since we're missing two council members, if I could get another council member to agree to include it as an item in next week's agenda,
done.
Sure.
That would be good. I missed last week's. There are a couple of issues that I've heard from people, and this is the newest idea that I've heard. Thank you, Steve. Regarding what our options are there.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to have, I agree with the safety considerations that we're working on here, but I think we need to spend a little bit more time discussing it and also make a note and make it more available for the public to add comment.
Okay.
That's it. And that's about it for me.
Okay, so we will add that to the agenda. We'll make certain, and I'm saying this for the record so that word gets back to staff, we'll make certain that a map of the C-curb is in there along with the pork chop, just so that it's in there for the meeting. We'll also make certain we have that in there.
If you have a map of the area as well, because I have a concern about some of the side streets that might end up being used as optional traffic.
Okay, so we will include those in the packet.
That'd be great. Thank
All
you.
Right. Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
I have nothing.
Okay. Councilmember Cutterback.
Nothing. Just one comment. One thing that we did decide last week when we made that decision was it wasn't a permanent solution. It wasn't concrete barriers. It was simply putting up, I don't know what they're called.
C-curbs.
Was it called C-curbs?
Mm-hmm. Down the middle.
Down the middle to... to experiment to see if that worked, and there was talk of notice and how we let the public know. So, but again, I appreciate putting it back on the agenda next week with the new information. So, but nothing else.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Scarborough.
Nothing to report. Same thing, though. At least it will give us
those people like me that are visual an opportunity to go look at what Steve brought so we can get a visual of it and come back next week.
Okay, now, before we hop off the dais and down to staff, last week's direction was fairly clear. I do not know if materials have been ordered yet. Is there any hesitation about the C curb down the middle of Kelsey?
Hesitation about the C curb?
Is there an issue? So if I'm going to suggest that staff not order the material if they haven't ordered it already. Okay.
We're not on the agenda.
Nope. Okay. All right. Okay, we'll go on out to staff then. Ms. Nelson.
I was not here last week. I was on vacation, but Jean asked me to, apparently, I guess a citizen was concerned about a water leak adjustment for on his utility bill, and council was asking for information on it, the ordinance or the code or whatnot. And so I got some information. It comes in your place as a little handout. And what it is it's our original 1986 policy. It's not a resolution, it's not an ordinance, it's a policy that has been reviewed and approved by the council in 1986. We've had this policy in effect since then. Looks like Gordon Tierney was the mayor back then. And then the first two sheets are the 1986 policy, and then there's a sheet of, in 2008 it was updated, but not, I think it was updated for form, not for substance. And then on top of that, behind that, the 2008 policy, I went on to Municipal Research Services Center to see what, on their website, to see what they say about leak adjustments, and there's just a little paragraph there of what they say, how it's prudent to have a policy and everything. And then they call out the city of West Richland's policy as a good example, so I also included what the city of West Richland's. Every other city's policy that I looked online at, that I could see readily available on their website, they all had 50% of water, a 1 month allowance, and then various things. Some people said you can only have one adjustment a year. Some people, like Woodenville, said you can't have it be adjusted more than $450. A lot of them had monetary limits on it. West Richland says you can only have one adjustment every 5 years. And so just to point out to council, whatever policy we have to apply it uniformly to everybody who requests a leak. And also, the city of Everett is where we buy our water, and we pay for the water whether there's a leak or not. So this is, whenever we give a leak adjustment, it's for water that the city has already paid for. So you have to be careful that you're not getting into the territory of a gifting public funds. That's something to look out for. And that's why I think MRSC recommends establishing a dollar limit, which we do not have. We just say 50%. Now, everybody that I looked at says 50% of the water. I did not see any policy that did not say 50% of the water. I looked at about five policies, and none of them strayed from the 50% of the water.
Thank you. Questions? Councilmember Cutback.
Diane, I just got this. So looking at it, we do 50% of the water, and then it looks like we do 100% of the sewer.
Correct.
Is that correct? So
yes.
Why the difference?
Because, well, with our new rate that's been enacted, it no longer applies. But before, we used to charge residential overage for it. It's like if they had a leak, normally they would pay their flat fee every month and never pay for consumption on their sewer. But if they have a leak, they would bump into that category, and we felt like that was not fair for our residents. And so, but with our new policy, there is no overage, so that wouldn't apply. They would not have any impact from a leak on their sewer.
On their sewer now. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay. Council, go ahead. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. So are we going to bring this back and have further discussion on that?
Well, that's my next question is, do you want this to come back for further discussion? This is the first that I've had an opportunity to really take a look at it myself, and I haven't had a chance to speak with Jean. Mm-hmm. I don't know that this is something that we can apply retroactively in the case that the city council would want to make a modification to this. So I guess if we're going to bring it back, it would be helpful to have what additional questions council has. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it'll just come back on the agenda for discussion. You still have the floor, Councilmember Camp?
That's fine. Yeah, the question I have just got answered under the West. Well, this is the West Bridgeland Municipal Code. Do we have a time limit? If somebody discovers the leak tomorrow, do they have to have it repaired? Bridgeland says 7 days.
We can usually find it. We notify because we run a report every month after we do our billing for high consumption in the computer. Anyone who picks out more than 3%, we notify them and say you might have a possible leak. So generally within a month we catch up.
Okay, but that would be the only concern.
Well, we don't have a time limit now.
Okay, would be, I would expect if someone has a leak, because if we're going to pay 50% of it, and they waited 4 months to fix a leak, I mean, it's costing them money.
Our policy only allows you to have the adjustment for a 1 month period.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, if it went for a few months, they would have still only had the 1 month.
Mm-hmm. I suppose I'd like to read this over and see if we want to bring it back.
Okay.
The city policy sounds pretty good to me.
So okay.
I'd like a little bit more time to review.
So what we can do is this is next week on department reports, or as we're looking at the extended agenda, if the council would like to have this come back or go to the P4 committee, I would imagine this would be a public works item.
Yeah.
We can certainly defer it to that committee next week. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so no further action required of staff right now. We'll just wait to hear from you next week. All right, anything else?
No.
Thank you very much for coming back. So we were just talking about short timer's disease. Thank you. All right, Mr. Osaki.
I don't have anything except Gene asked me to speak to number two.
Speak to number two.
Number two, so I'm going to do it now or I'm going to do it later.
Yeah, are we talking
Downtown Lady?
Oh, yes, please go ahead.
The mayor already sent, I believe, an email to the council, but we have a staff member who was hired, and she came from Puget Sound Energy. And Puget Sound Energy has a foundation that provides grants to 501c3 organizations for certain types of civic projects. So she made contact with Puget Sound Energy. And a person at that company who has involvement in this foundation. And we were encouraged to make an application for this specific purpose. And so the issue, though, is that the conduit has to be a 501c3 organization. And the timing couldn't be better just in some respects because I believe last week the Downtown Monroe Association indicated that they actually got the 501c3 status, federal status. So Christy Kyle, our senior planner, will be working with the Downtown Monroe Association. And she's looking over the actual application right now, and we'll talk to the Downtown Monroe Association. And so we'll work and encourage the Downtown Monroe Association to actually get that conduit to make an application. The deadline is October 1st. I don't know what the turnaround time is for them to make a decision. And we'll just go from there and see what happens. I think we'll ask for at least an $8,000 gap, if not more, for that purpose.
Thank you. Before we move on with anything else you have to report, Councilmember Scarborough?
So would the grant cover the extra $6,000 that we don't have covered by somebody who volunteered a donation, or does the grant cover the whole $8,000 and more maybe?
I think we'll ask for more than $8,000. But how much gets awarded, if any, is just up to the foundation.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Mr. Osaki, anything further?
The only other item I would add is that based on the direction we received last week, the mayor signed a letter. We submitted an objection letter to the Liquor and Cannabis Board, and they responded back. I believe I've shared that with the city council that it was a mapping error on their part, and that the one child daycare center is within 1,000 feet of the proposed license location. And based on state law, the Liquor and Cannabis Board has to deny that application. And so I appreciate the council's action on the resolution last week.
How are things going in building and permitting this week?
Yes.
Wow, that's good.
I appreciate for people to say we're busy.
Yeah.
We're just busy.
Yeah.
There's just a lot going on right now.
Yeah.
This really reminds me of about 2004, 2005, and the housing boom that we had back then, which led into 2008, 2009. We got a lot of activity going on, especially on the single-family residential side.
Sounds good. And anything going through Planning Commission right now that is of particular to note?
Planning Commission has been working on code amendments, zoning code amendments, and one of the goals of the comprehensive plan, one of the eight goals focuses on downtown, and so we've been focusing on the downtown.
All right, any questions for Mr. Osaki? Great. Chief?
Playing off a little bit of what Dave was talking about, I had a meeting today with a gentleman who's running for the state legislature, not in this district, but in District 1. It turns out he is the owner of the child care center. And he had indicated that, I believe he told me that they had moved from their old location in 2005 to the location they're currently in. It might have been 2006. So that's 10 years and the state hasn't caught up to it yet. So he says, I don't understand why we're state licensed. We've, every year we pay for our license and the like. So I found that quite interesting. The other thing, I attended the barbecue at the mosque that was that's already been mentioned, and it was a very enjoyable time, very interesting. I learned a lot, and I think that in discussion with a lot of the members of the mosque, they learned a lot about the police department and the city. So that was a good time. Lastly, I'm not sure I'll be here next week, but I'd like to mention on my trip to the mosque on Saturday, I was on South Kelsey. I was right at Hill Street, and there was a train going across. And the issue of putting signs up, people don't look at signs. They may look at them, but they don't pay attention to them. A pickup pulls out about five vehicles in front of me, and he decides to go northbound in the southbound lanes. Likewise, there was a vehicle that one that was eastbound on Kelsey decided to make a right-hand turn and go southbound in the southbound lanes on Kelsey, and they came headlight to headlight. There was an exchange of what they felt the other driver's intelligence level was, and it wasn't above the number two, I'll tell you that much. Some yelling, and finally the person that was headed southbound in the right direction had to back up and let the other person go through. And this was not during rush hour. This wasn't, it was caused because of the train. And you got to do something. The ideal thing is that the city spend a couple $100,000 and work with the state with traffic signaling, but that's not going to happen. So, but we've got to do something, and we've got to do something to prevent those people. I don't know how many times I've seen someone go northbound, southbound lanes because the traffic's not coming southbound. And they'll drive for 2-3 blocks that way. And it's a dangerous situation. I'm not saying we're having accidents. I'm saying that action could cause things beyond actions and beyond accidents. And that's how you get road rage real quickly. And like I said, I don't know if I can be here next week. I may be in the audience, but something's got to be done. And it's been a problem for a long time, and we in the city here have been kind of tolerating it and sitting on it, and we need to take some action on it.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
Can everybody hear me? I don't know if my mic's on.
You're good.
I got one email, and the suggestion, well, I got one happy one and one not so happy. One that suggested that we put a roundabout there. And my answer to her was to check with Gene, because I didn't think we could acquire the property needed without invoking eminent domain to put a roundabout there. And the other was the money that we would need to put a signal there. But you're right, there's a diversity of what people would like to see there.
Yes.
Obviously, that's why we're having this discussion.
And it's not going to get better because there's a new project going in near that intersection. How many units, vehicles?
It's proposed at 112. Yeah.
So that's going to add more traffic, yeah.
Okay. Anything further, Councilmember Scarborough?
No, thank you.
Okay. Anything further, Chief Quinzer? Okay. Okay. So you'll note in the packets for me, we've got Monroe this week. I've just want to highlight a couple things. One, Friday we had a really awesome turnout for the Gatorade Seahawk camp.
Cool.
So thank you very much to the Boys and Girls Club and to city staff and the Seahawks for putting on an awesome event. We also had Music in the Park on Friday night. A lot of people showed up at that, and we'll have that again this coming week, and would encourage everybody to show up for that. I also, as noted, attended the Ahmadiyya Mosque, as the name, and I do appreciate them hosting that event and encouraging people from all over our community to attend that event. The food was great, the fellowship was great, great opportunity to sit down and talk with other people. And to let you know, for those of you that might walk in through the back, you might smell something a little funny. That's not funny, but in back, we did have a sewer backup earlier today. So if you'd been trying to get a hold of somebody from planning or building, if they didn't answer their phones, that may have been why. But we've been working on cleaning that up, and it's just something I wanted to share with you, because I know that all of us agree that we need to do something about City Hall, and I'll be talking with staff about that and coming back to talk with council a little bit more in the next couple months or so. We have the Snohomish County City's dinner on Thursday night. Right now we have Councilmember Scarborough and Councilmember Camp going to that with me. That'll be in Bothell. And like I said, we've got Music in the Park this coming Friday. Does anybody have any questions for me? All right, and Gene's wasn't able to make it this evening, so let's go ahead and go over the extended agenda, and then we do have a need for an executive session this evening. You'll see in your packets the agenda for next week. I'll just go ahead and run down that. On the consent agenda, we have the minutes. We have a bid award for the 179th Avenue sidewalk. Under new business, we have authorizing the Mayor Pro Tem to sign an ILA with Snohomish County, establishing a Snohomish Regional Drug and Gang Task Force. Under final action, we have authorizing the Mayor to sign an agreement for the outdoor sculpture. We have approving the Iron Eagle preliminary plat. Under staff department and reports, we have a staff report on land use sales update at North Kelsey. And then Monroe this week, the draft agenda for the 9th. Are there any additions or deletions to the July 26th? We were talking about adding...
Yes.
Kelsey. Yeah, let's go with Kelsey and Blueberry. I was going to conflate those two words. So we'll add under new business or... We don't have an old business category, do we?
No, it needs to be.
Yeah.
Because it's not new.
So staff will add in the appropriate place a discussion on Blueberry and Kelsey, the intersection there. All right, anything further to add to next week's agenda? All right, let's go ahead and move on to the extended agenda. Please take a look at the extended agenda. If you are not going to be here, please let us know. Please note that August 2nd has already been canceled for Night Out Against Crime. All right. Are there any additions or deletions to the extended agenda? All right. Let's go ahead and go back to this. And so we now have need for an executive session. Oh, please note in your email that Jean sent an email with some attachments about the state budget. I'd encourage you to take a look at that. It's a PowerPoint presentation, if I remember correctly. All right, we do now have a need for two executive sessions. The first one, actually, they're both for agency litigation. They are under RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection little I, for a total of 15 minutes, with action to follow, if nothing else, to adjourn the meeting. So we're going to go ahead and go into exec session. I would like to have Ms. Nelson, Mr. Osaki, and the chief remain in chambers for the two. I don't think I need you, Ms. Nelson, during exec session. We need you, but not for exec session. So we'll just keep Mr. Osaki and Chief Windsor, and you're going to help me dial. Okay, and Liz will remain in chambers as well. Thank you. So we're in exec session. Okay, we're back in session. We have no other business needed this evening. Councilmember Camp?
I move to adjourn.
Okay. We have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Camp. I have a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. Thank you.